Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. In our Quran study session today, inshallah, I will talk about dua, which is typically rendered supplication or invocation in English. This is a subject that is very near and dear to Brother Farid's heart, and hopefully I will do justice to this topic, so he's going to be happy with me. Dua or supplication is a crucial component of all Abrahamic religions, Christianity, Judaism, and Islam. If you read the Quran, the Hebrew Bible, the New Testament, you will find so many supplications or dua by prophets and their disciples in these sacred scriptures. In fact, there are more than 100 dua in the Holy Quran. These dua were made by prophets, starting with Adam all the way to the Prophet Muhammad. So it would not be an exaggeration if I say dua is crucial to our faith. Dua is an essential component of Abrahamic religion. If dua is not present in a school of thought, we cannot call that school of thought a religion. Dua is a unique teaching of world religions. You do not find anything like it in philosophy, for example. Prominent philosophers such as Immanuel Kant or Baruch Spinoza, who happened to believe in God, could not find a rational basis for dua. So if you read the philosophy of Kant or Spinoza in their philosophical system, you're not going to find anything like dua in it. The same was true of Muslim philosophers such as Ibn Sina or Avicenna, as he is known in the West. Now, don't get me wrong here. Ibn Sina did not oppose dua. In fact, he made dua himself. But he was honest enough to say, look, I make dua because the Quran and the Prophet Muhammad have asked me to do so, not because I have found a rational justification for dua. I will not bore you with the details why philosophers have not been able to come up with a strong rational argument for dua, and I don't have enough time to tackle these questions anyway. I just wanted to make a point here that dua is unique to religion. Unfortunately, as crucial as dua is in our faith, it is mostly missing from our daily life. I personally think that in the modern world, most Jews, Christians, and Muslims do not fully grasp the importance of dua or supplication in their faith. Dua, by and large, has become a marginal affair in their lives, which is a betrayal of their religious teachings. Today, I hope I will be able to show you why dua is so important to our religion. So let's begin. What does dua mean? Why is it so crucial to our faith? Dua is a word that is used in the Holy Quran. It is a Quranic injunction. Dua comes from the Arabic root da'a, which means to call upon, to summon, and also to ask for or to make a request. So da'a, the root word for dua, means to call upon, to summon, and to ask for. Now, the root da'a, with its various forms, has been used in the Holy Quran about 212 times. Dua is typically rendered invocation or supplication in English. Dua is also translated as prayer. I personally do not like to translate dua as prayer, because salat or namaz is also called prayer in English language, but dua and salat or namaz are not the same thing. We should not confuse them. Salat or namaz is very structured. Muslims perform salat or namaz 5 times a day at certain times, and it involves a set of specific physical motions, and almost all Muslims perform their salat in Arabic language. So salat or namaz is very structured. It is a ritual. Dua, on the other hand, is not structured at all. It is not a ritual. When you make dua, you don't have to kneel or sit. You can pray or you can say dua while walking or driving your car. It can be done anytime, day or night. You can make your dua or supplication in any language you are comfortable with. In Farsi, Spanish, English, it doesn't have to be in Arabic. See, a lot of Muslims, for whatever reason, think that God only understands dua in Arabic language. So, like Iranians, they babble dua in Arabic and they have no idea what they're saying in their dua. Your dua can include anything that is important to you. Let me repeat one more time. In dua, you can say anything that is important to you, whatever your heart desires. But to avoid confusion, today I will stick to the Arabic word dua or supplication. I will not use the word prayer as a translation for dua. Now let's go over the philosophy of dua. What is dua really for? You see, at its core, dua is a tool for communication between a human and God. At its core, dua is a tool for communication between a human and God. It is interesting that according to the Holy Quran, it is God who has invited us to call Him. Dua is God's invitation to communicate with Him. You can find that wisdom in chapter 40, verse 60, a very well-known verse in the Holy Quran. فَقَالَ رَبُّكُمْ أُدْعُونِي أَسْتَجِبْ لَكُمْ. Your Lord says, call on me and I will answer you. Call on me and I will answer you. Notice that God, in this verse, does not lay down any preconditions. He does not set any parameters for the communication. For example, God doesn't say, call me weekdays during business hours 8 to 5. Please, no call at night. And by the way, you can only bring up these things in your dua. None of that. No rules for dua. No preconditions. Now, if you think about it, this is quite extraordinary. Your boss at work typically would set some conditions or rules for calling him. But God, the creator of the heavens and the earth, is far easier to talk to than your puny boss. Isn't that incredible? Isn't that incredible? This point, that it is easier to talk to God than anybody else, was not lost on Rumi. In a story in Book 2 of Mathnavi, Rumi tells the story of a peasant whom had an ox or a cow in his stable. Rumi says the peasant loved his ox. When the peasant could not sleep at night, he would sometimes go to the stable and talk to the ox. One night, a lion ate the ox and sat in its place in the stable. That night, the poor peasant could not sleep. He went to the stable and it was totally dark. He could not see a thing. The peasant sat next to the lion, thinking that it was his ox. So he started rubbing and stroking the lion's limbs. The lion looked at the peasant in disbelief. He said to himself, "What an idiot! If this guy knew I were a lion, he would wet his pants." این چنین گستاخ زن می خاردم کو در این شب گاو می پنداردم. He is stroking me like this so boldly because in this dark night he thinks I am his ox. I think Rumi has hit the nail on the head. You and I, we talk to God as if God is our buddy. We talk to God in bed, in bathroom, and we say whatever is on our mind. We absolutely have no regard for rank, for position, or hierarchy when it comes to God. But we observe rank and hierarchy whenever we want to choose another person to talk to. Would you ever pick up the phone in the middle of the night and call the White House and say to the operator, "I want to talk to President Biden because I voted for him in the election"? You would never do that. اذکرونی اگر نفرمودی زهره نام او کرا بودی. If God had not granted us permission, no one would dare to utter his name. Somehow, we are at ease with God, just as we are at ease with our best friend. You and I, we open up with our best friend because we are very close, we are intimate. The Quran literally calls God a friend. Did you know that? The Quran literally calls God, the creator of the heaven and the earth, a friend. Al-Wadud. Al-Wadud, which is one of God's beautiful names. Al-Wadud means a friend. God is very, very close to us. How close? Chapter 50, verse 16 answers this question. Another famous verse in the Holy Quran. God says, "Nahnu aqrabu min habl al-warid." We are closer to man than his jugular vein. We are closer to man than his jugular vein. You see, the jugular vein is right inside us. no one else could possibly be that close to us. Now here, in the Quranic context, closeness does not imply spatial distance, a distance that you can measure in centimeters or inches. No, in Quranic usage, closeness means friendship, companionship, or fellowship. Fellowship is a very profound word in English language. Fellowship. That's what closeness is implied in this verse. In fact, this is the ultimate aim in religion. What is the ultimate goal of religion? Why do we have religion? Forming fellowship with God. Unpacking so much stuff in a short sermon. The ultimate aim of religion is to form fellowship with God, and dua serves that goal. Now the Quran links the possibility of dua or communication with closeness. One more time, and I'm going to give you the verse, so please pay attention. The Quran links, it ties the possibility of dua or communication with closeness. It is the infinite closeness of God to human being which makes dua even possible. Chapter 2, verse 186. وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي أَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. O Prophet Muhammad, if my servants ask you about me, truly I am near. I answer the supplication of every supplicant when he calls me. So let them respond to me and believe in me so that they may be guided aright. Very important verse in the Holy Quran. This verse also sheds light on the philosophy of dua. What is the ultimate aim in dua? What are we to gain by dua or supplication? Closeness to God. That's what this verse is teaching us. To get closer to God. To cement our bond with God. This is how we should understand dua. And hopefully now you begin to understand why dua is so crucial to our faith. As I mentioned before, there are no rules for dua. You can talk to God about anything your heart desires. Even the most trivial things, the most mundane things, you can include in your dua to God. You can ask God to help you with your next exam or to deliver your work assignment on time. Now, it may sound a bit awkward that I would ask God for a materialistic thing such as good grade, but instead get something very spiritual out of it. That is closeness to God, fellowship with God, right? I would get something far more valuable out of my dua than the piddly little thing that I asked for in my dua. That may sound awkward. I think Rumi has explained it the best. Rumi says, sometimes you seek one thing, but you end up attaining something that is far more valuable than what you were seeking. In fact, Rumi insists, this is how this world works. He gives us a few examples to say that simple things, small openings, can lead to vast fortunes. Let me give you some of Rumi's example. بهرنان شخصی سوی نانوا دوید، داد جان چون حسن نانوا را بدید. A person ran to the baker for bread. On seeing the beauty of the baker, he gave up his desire for bread. In other words, the guy went to the bakery for bread, but found beauty, found love. بهر فرجه شد یکی تا گلستان، فرجه او شد جمال باغبان. A person went to a rose garden to cheer up and found his pleasure in the beauty of the gardener. Rumi says a man was gloomy and depressed. He went to a rose garden to get his mind off his problems. When he got to the rose garden, it was not beautiful roses, but the beauty of the gardener that made him forget all about his problems. Another example. رفت موسی کاتشی آرد او به دست، آتشی دیدو که از آتش برست. Moses went to fetch fire. He saw a burning bush which made him escape from eternal fire. You know the story of Moses and the burning bush. This story appears in the Holy Quran and also in the Old Testament. Moses and his family were wandering the desert. Moses said to his family, "Stay here and I will look for fire to warm you up." Rumi says, according to the story in the Quran and the Hebrew scripture, Moses saw a burning bush. When he approached the burning bush, suddenly God spoke with him through the burning bush. Moses was looking for fire, but instead he found God. Dua is exactly the same way. You make mundane and trivial requests in dua, but gradually, as you communicate more and more with God, God becomes an integral part of your life. This is the most crucial thing that I've said so far in my sermon. As you communicate more and more with God, God becomes an integral part of your life. You see, religious life, a life of faith, is all about living with God. And when you make dua on a regular basis, when you share your heartaches, your inspirations, your longings, even the most basic needs that you have with God, and you do it on a regular basis, you will create an inner space that is full of God's presence. So the whole point of dua is to live with God. That's why Islam teaches us to make dua all the time. Ask God for everything, big or small, material or spiritual. Ask God for guidance. Ask God for tranquility and peace of mind in your life. Even ask God for a good house, a good job, a good spouse, even a good grade in your next exam. My lovely wife, when she's cooking for a big party, she always asks me to make a dua for her, that her dishes would come out perfectly. And I do make such dua for her, and I encourage my wife to rely on God even for a good dish. As people of faith, we must engage God. We must involve God in our daily life. So God becomes the center of our life. And this is precisely what verse 77 in chapter 25 wants to convey to us. Chapter 25, verse 77. It is addressed to the Prophet Muhammad. Very profound verse, which most people really do not grasp its full implications. قُلْ مَا يَعْبَأُ بِكُمْ رَبِّي لَوْلَا دُعَاءُكُمْ فَقَدْ كَذَّبْتُمْ فَسَوْفَ يَكُونُ لِزَامًا. O Prophet Muhammad, tell the disbelievers, those who reject God, tell them, my Lord would not concern himself with you without your supplication or dua. But indeed, you have rejected him, and soon the inevitable will happen. In other words, the verse says, if you do not involve God in your life, you have no concern for God, and God will have no concern for you. God will abandon you. And abandonment is the absolute worst spiritual punishment. That's what we call spiritual ruin. By now, some of you may be itching to ask this question. Everything that I've said so far, the fact that God has asked us to call on him and he has assured us that he would answer our call, that we must make dua for everything, big and small, material and spiritual, right? If you take all, everything that I've said so far, some of you may be itching to ask this question. If God has assured us that call me and I will answer you, how come many of our prayers do not get answered? I have asked God for good health, but now I have a serious illness. I asked God for a good spouse. I had a nightmare in my marriage and I got a divorce. Didn't God hear me? Is he not capable or powerful enough, as we think he is, to deliver? Why didn't God keep his promise that if you call me, I will answer you? These are all valid questions. In answering these questions, some Quran commentators have come up with some weird explanations. For example, some commentators say that you and I ask for certain things in this life, but God may see fit to give those things to us in afterlife. Really? So I make a request from God in this life and I get it in the afterlife? I think there is a simpler explanation. We are short of time and I'm going to be very quick. Let's look at the verse one more time and consider the words carefully, where God says, Ud'uni astajib lakum. Call on me and I will answer you. Notice that the verse mentions call me, not necessarily ask me. A lot of us confuse calling with asking, making a request. We often think that dua means asking God for something or making a request. But dua does not necessarily involve a request. Dua is a broader concept that includes all sorts of calling. What is the aim of calling? communication with God, to communicate with God. Secondly, dua is really an expression of total submission to God. I understand, we rarely think of dua this way, but dua is really an expression of total submission to God, an expression of faith. Dua encapsulates the essence of this verse in the Holy Quran. Verse 38 in chapter 47. I'm going to give you a piece of that verse, and this piece of the verse is so crucial to Islamic Sufism. Allahul Ghaniyyu wa antumul fuqara. Allahu Ghaniyyu wa antumul fuqara. God is rich and you are poor. If I really were to pick a handful of verses that are foundational to Islamic Sufism, this verse would be one of them. This verse shows the relationship between God and human beings. It is God that gives us life. He gives us all our faculties. He created this beautiful blue planet we call home, the planet Earth, that sustains us. Did we have anything to do for all of this? Really, no. So when I make dua for everything, big or small, it is a reminder of my total dependence on God. I remind myself that it is God that I depend on, not anyone else. So when you make dua, like my wife does when she wants to cook a good meal, you remind yourself that it is God that you depend on. Now, if I were to put a Sufi spin on what I just said, every need that I experience is ultimately a need for God. Every need that I experience in my daily life is ultimately a need for God. So dua is an expression of our total dependence and submission to God. And by the way, we are out of time. Dua is also an expression of our humility towards God. I hope my talk today shed some light on the meaning and significance of dua for you. And I hope that you make dua a centerpiece of your daily life. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.